It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
You're listening to the voices behind Women's Cricket Chat. That's Georgie and Alex. Coming up on today's podcast...
Welcome Peter O'Brien and Poppy McGeehan, joining me, Georgie Heath, on Women's Cricket Chat this week for this special episode looking into the scandal surrounding French cricket, ghost matches, blacklisting of players, and just an absolute... I'm going to not use the word that I would say, but it rhymes with a hit show of a situation going on at French cricket. Peter, journalist who has broken the story, Poppy, star player of the French women's national team. Thank you both for joining me, speaking to me from Paris. And Poppy, whereabouts are you?
Just south of Paris.
Well, very nice too, as the world looks ahead to the Paris Olympics. But we're not talking about that at the moment. We're talking cricket and everything that's going on. So, Peter, I want to come to you first. It's you that broke this story. How did you first come to hear about this and go about reporting it? And just give us a little rundown of what you found so that the listeners who might not have seen some of the articles can find out what's going on.
So it's about a year ago where I started hearing in the expat community around Paris that French cricket was corrupt and the people running it are awful and all of these rumours and allegations. And at first, I didn't really think much of it, then started to speak to some of the cricketers and clubs here. And I quickly realised there seemed to be something afoot. So if you look at the first part of the investigation that I released with Gregor Thompson in November, it starts with these. Well, first of all, it starts with the Cricket World Cup trophy actually coming to Paris as part of its global tour and this glitzy event surrounding it. You had ambassadors there, you had Mitali Raj, and it was kind of, oh, cricket in France is developing so nicely in a country that isn't known for cricket. If you talk to a lot of French people, they'll think it's polo or they think it's croquet. They won't actually think it's cricket. I spoke to Tracy Rodriguez, who was on the head of, oh, sorry, not head, but she was on the board of France Cricket, involved in cricket in France. And she basically started asking questions about the level of women's cricket because she realized that the two divisions that there supposedly were in fact, from what she could see, one. And she went to a couple of the matches and saw that they weren't actually taking place. Now, I started looking into this and talked to lots of different people who corroborated the same story, got to go to a couple of the matches myself with Gregor Thompson and our camerawoman Eloise Melon, and we saw that the semi-final and the final of the women's second division did not take place as were validated by France Cricket. So the piece goes into a little bit the reasons as to why this was, The fact that, unfortunately, in its attempt to encourage women's cricket, the ICC has put in place this 50-50 sort of funding. So the level of women's cricket is remunerated to the same extent the levels of men's cricket is, as far as I can tell, in associate nations. So there's a strong incentive then to put in place women's cricket. The top clubs were told to have women's cricket teams and participate in this second division tournament, and if they didn't, then they were faced with heavy fines. And obviously, it was difficult for a lot of clubs to field the required number of women and to attend these matches. But it was also difficult for them to pay the fines, being amateur clubs a lot of the time. So what we started to see were alleged fake matches, or as we put it, ghost matches happening as a way to sort of circumvent fines and still provide sort of statistics on the amount of women playing cricket here. So that's the base allegation. And the latest report, which was out on Friday, talks about what's happened to the women's national team as a result. Obviously, Poppy can tell us more about that, but the women's national team over the last few years has been participating in ICC tournaments. I should say here as well that this is a national team that is technically recognised by the French government. They have an agreement, France Cricket, with the Baseball and Softball Federation, which used to be the Baseball, Softball and Cricket Federation, and that has the ministerial green light to organise the sport in the country and to provide national teams. The eligibility of this team to participate in ICC tournaments was, of course, thrown into doubt by the allegations in the piece, because you have to have a certain level of domestic women's cricket before you field a national team on an international level.
And this is the national team that Poppy's part of, that I saw at the Div 2 qualifiers European last year and went through to the European qualifiers, which then could lead to the global qualifiers for this year's World Cup. A team that performed really well. They got through that. They won that tournament, came through. But Poppy, then it all started to come out about this. How has this impacted you as a player and also your team? Because, you know, you're on such a high after winning those qualifiers and then going through to the European qualifiers. But then all of this has come out since then, and we've seen an open letter from the players that we'll discuss in a minute. How has it made you feel, and what has it done for you as a team?
Well, yeah, of course, after the Division 2, I think it's the best performance the French team has put in historically, the women's team. So obviously we were on cloud nine. Then we went to Division 1, which obviously when you go up a division, you're expecting to not perform as well because you're playing against better teams. We had a good time in Spain, challenging, but it was a good time. And then basically after that, when the paper came out, then it's basically just been being ignored by the Federation. I use the word blacklisted. That were coins for me, because I consider we have been all blacklisted since we've published the open statement. Individually, I can't speak for all the players, but I think what I'm going to say is going to probably reflect what most of us feel. We feel very let down. Are we surprised by what's happening? How we've been treated after the publication of the statement? No. We had meetings between players before we published it and were very clear about the consequences of what doing this might have. And as far as our discussions went, everything we thought would happen has happened. So not only did we publish a paper asking for investigations, but we were very well aware of how that would impact us as players and as a team afterwards, which is, as far as we know currently, there is no French team. None of us have been contacted individually to play or to know what's going on, or we haven't had any negative or positive contact either way. The only thing we've been asked is to return our playing kit, which has never been done before. So we got an email a few weeks ago saying, for logistical reasons, please return your kit, which, as I said, has never been asked to any player in the past. And we either had to go and drop it off in person at the HQ in Paris.
What? So you just have to turn out a bag and be like, here's my kit, I haven't washed it.
Pretty much, yeah. So, if you live in Nantes, that's a day trip. Or send it by post, which if you're sending all your kit back, is probably going to cost you a few dollars. So that's the only contact we've had with them since basically Spain, ICC Division 1. And I think most of us feel very let down. And most of us want a break from cricket. I think we're just like, we've been dealing with this in different flavors for the past couple of years. We've had our suspicions. Some of us knew what was going on and decided to ignore it.
And when did you first sort of get this idea of what was happening? Because I guess in such a small women's cricket world in France, you probably know what's happening. You know where the big clubs are and most of the players come from. When did you first get a sort of flavour of the fact that this might be happening?
So I joined the team in 2021, a bit as a newbie. I come back from Australia, so I was sort of out of the circuit for a few years. I think from the very start, if you took care enough to notice, we all knew it's a very small community. I've been playing with the same girls. I used to play for Belgium 10 years ago, in 2010-11. I've been playing the same people pretty much since 2010-11. So it's a very small community. The girls just, the clubs change because some clubs, you know, can't have a women's team anymore. So the names and of the clubs change, but it's basically the same people for the last pretty much 12, 15 years. If there was a plethora of Division II teams with all these girls playing, we would know. I mean, we've been playing each other for 15 years, the same tournaments, the same three teams. As I say, the club's names may change, but if there was 20, 30 plus girls out there getting some of the scorecards, alleged fake scorecards of the Division II games show amazing performances. You know, I think there were 5 wickets in 2 overs. You know, who are these girls? Why are they not in the team? We've been importing, I mean, they're genuine French players, but we've had young players coming from England. We've had a young player coming from Australia. I mean, surely if we had a wealth of cricket potential in our own country, we would have heard about them, met them, seen them, spoke to them at some point. So I think as if you took notice of the Division II existing and you are in France and you are playing, you pretty much know this isn't happening. It can't be happening. We would have met these people, we'd have heard about them. It's just not realistic.
And Peter, when did you first hear about these alleged ghost / fake matches going on and everything that was happening?
Yeah, as I said, it was about, I think, roughly a year ago. And I thought, well, that would be an interesting summer project to go along to some of the matches and actually see what's happening.
Was this when you went along and you sat and waited for matches to happen and then they didn't happen, but then the scorecard magically appeared the next day?
Yes. Yes. Well, these matches would be on the weekend and then the scorecard would appear afterwards. And then you get the sporting commissioner at France Cricket validating these matches as having taken place. But if you look at the scorecards, a lot of these matches are very short. I'm not that much of a cricket expert, but there seems to be a lot of irregularities anyway, given the time it takes to play some of these matches. If you look at the latest one, piece that we released on Friday, we also include some new evidence of ghost matches and how Eddie Hoyle of Chantilly Cricket Club turned up last April, and there was supposed to be a number of matches being played on Chantilly Cricket Ground. He wasn't aware of these matches meant to be taking place because he'd arrived with equipment to strip and relay the wicket, the artificial wicket. And he saw one match which took about 10 minutes in innings. He said it didn't look like any cricket match he'd seen before. He had sort of people sitting inside the boundary rope. He wasn't even, you know, he didn't recognize it as a game of cricket. Certainly not a sort of hard ball ICC eligibility kind of match going on. And then 3 matches were supposedly taking place after that, but they didn't happen. And you can see photos in the piece. I mean, he was working on the wicket with a number of people. And then Tuesday, all of these matches were validated as having taken place.
It does seem rather sketchy, to put it lightly. I just want to come back to that open statement made by the French women's cricket team that obviously Poppy, you signed. So if I could just read that one out quickly. So it says, we, players of the French women's cricket team, wish to share our reaction following the publication of the press report, allegations of fake matches, murky finances, play cricket in France by journalist Peter O'Brien, published on Tuesday the 7th of November 2023 on France 24. The revelations made in the article are profoundly shocking. We have been aware of issues within the federation, but if the allegations are true, We condemn the actions as outrageous, and as players of the national women's team, we wish to strongly and firmly dissociate ourselves from the behaviour and actions of France cricket. In light of this press report, we call upon the ICC and the Ministry of Sport to conduct a thorough investigation so that tangible actions can be taken to remedy any proven misconduct. At the conclusion of the investigation, we are hopeful that the situation can evolve positively to allow for fair treatment of women, youth and men. We are proud to represent our country and aspire to see proactive actions implemented to promote cricket in France through club development and support of our national teams. As players, we will continue to fight, especially for the development of women's cricket. We would also like to send a message to the people who contributed to this article. We are proud of and stand in solidarity with our former teammates who had the courage to ask questions. And then it's got the signatures at the bottom there. Well, Poppy, it talks about, you know, the equality of the game and the growth of the women's game. We mentioned that you made it through to those qualifiers. You were then supposed to play in the European cricket first women's version of this over Christmas kind of time. But am I right in that you found out via social media that the team wouldn't be going and a team from England would be going instead?
Yeah, exactly. So just to be completely transparent, I wasn't to play in that tournament. I was unavailable because of work commitments. But obviously we have WhatsApp groups and we all talk. So I wasn't in the specific group for that tournament, but was well aware of the organisation because obviously all my friends were going. So we were meant to go as a team to Spain mid-December. And as far as I know, there were talks about specifically plane tickets being bought and, you know, taking time off work. So very specific dates, times and detailed logistical discussions for the individual girls. And as soon as we published that paper, we had our suspicions that obviously this might have implications on that participation in the tournament. But we heard nothing from, well, they heard nothing from France cricket. The WhatsApp groups we were all part of were basically dismantled with no messages explaining. They're just, you know, removed. And we learned, I think, from the Instagram of the ECN or the organizing committee of the tournament that the French team wasn't participating and were being replaced by another team. And we had, I think none of us had had any feedback from any official of France cricket.
Yeah, I was looking at former captain Brelevé Emmanuel, her now ex, formerly Twitter post was, you know, a quote tweet of the European cricket post that said that an England 11 women's team are poised to make history after France withdrew their participation. Well, she wrote on this, always pleased to learn by the media we're out of this tournament, not a single word from our federation. And that seems like very much they're just dangling it in front of you at the moment, that if they're not looking to try and make any positive change, and I hear they haven't really responded to much. Am I right on that, Peter, that the federation just sort of stayed very quiet?
I mean, what I would say is that in the latest piece, you can see it starts with Tara Britton and one other player turning up to training the day after this letter came out. And the sporting director, now CEO of France Cricket, Saravana de Rairaj, turns up to training and tells them that the girls aren't welcome anymore. So France Cricket might well say, well, that was your official communication, right? I imagine that's an argument that they might put. But it was very much, I don't know, I'm just anticipating here. And they might also well say that players sign an agreement that if they criticise their national governing body, that they are no longer welcome in the national team. And now, obviously, Poppy, you can talk to this, but you've read out the entire statement and players did tell me that they didn't feel that they were criticising anyone in particular. They were simply asking for clarifications and saying that if the allegations are correct, then they would condemn them.
And Poppy, what happens from here for you guys, or is it completely unclear at the moment? You said that none of you really want to play cricket. Has this just tarnished the game for you?
I think our love for cricket runs deeper than the French Federation. I think we've just been dealing with smaller issues for a long time. And this is just the, you know, the straw that breaks the camel's back. I think we've all been, and it's not necessarily fighting against the system because we want to support the system. We just want to be in a system we believe in. But, you know, we all have full-time jobs. Cricket in France is difficult. You need to drive long distances to get to pitches. You're spending money. It's a lot of time. Training isn't always easy because we don't have the infrastructure. So cricket in France, if you want to perform at any, you know, credible level, is extremely time-consuming and effort-consuming. So I think if there's nothing, the French team gave us something to look up to, you know, to train for, to fight for. We're playing for our country. It's a great pride and honor. Take that away from us and reveal that the system we've been playing for and representing is actually not one we want to represent is quite disheartening. And I think we all just need a breather. So it's had massive implications, hopefully on the short term. And hopefully maybe it's just, you know, we're coming out of the winter. Winter's always a bit of a break for us anyway. So maybe once the sun comes out and the grass smells green, we'll want to start playing again. But I think it's going to have huge implications on grassroots cricket in France for the next couple of years, maybe, depending on how the system evolves.
And do you know, Peter, at all, how the wider ICC and cricket community have taken this and if they're making any kind of steps to?
Yeah, I'd say the cricketing community has responded with overwhelming support for the women's national team and with overwhelming support for the work that we've done at France 24, which has been really encouraging to see. The ICC did issue a statement that Alison Mitchell of the BBC's Dump podcast, they sent it to her, and it said that they had investigated the allegations and were satisfied that the issues was closed. And I know the wider cricketing community is disappointed by this. None of my sources tell me that they've been contacted by the ICC. And surely if you're doing an investigation, you don't just contact the committee that's under investigation. You know, you have to have an external point of view. So I'm not convinced there's a lot of independent auditing or oversight into what's going on. For me, there's a fundamental paradox in what the ICC's said. They've said that members, like associate members, are wholly responsible for the data they provide, that data is audited by the ICC. If the members are wholly responsible, why would they need to audit in the first place? And also, it's your money. You're also responsible for spending your money. So I don't really understand the response, but I didn't get much out of the ICC ahead of this second article, no.
And Poppy, for you, you mentioned that, you know, you want to be able to play, you want equality, you want clarity. What is different between how the men's side are treated and what happens there and the women's? Because I know that the French men's national team, they're still carrying on with day-to-day life. They haven't had to have alleged ghost matches. So what would you be calling for as a French women's national player in regard to that?
I think it's a tricky conversation to have because there is a massive cultural difference between the women's team and the men's team. Most of the men's team is, you know, Asian-based, who are sometimes have been in France for a long time and are genuinely French. That's not the question. But they're just desperate to play cricket, most of them. I don't think we've had a few chats with some of them, and all they want, which we would love to worry about too, is they just want to play cricket. So most of them don't want to, and I understand worry or speak up against the system, because as they've seen, if you speak up against the system, you're out. When cricket is basically your life's passion and, you know, it's the only thing you want to do is play, you're not going to risk playing for France for criticizing the system. And I'm not there when the Federation is around them, so I can't speak for how they're treated in line of us. But
have they said anything in support or anything in regards to what's been happening with the women's side? I know, like you said, maybe they stay out of it.
I mean, we know a few of them, obviously. We're not often together, so we don't have strong links to them. Some of them trained with us and were really, really good at helping us and coaching us and really helpful. But as far as speaking up for or against the system, they're just not interested, which I wish we could do too, but they just want to play cricket, most of them, and that's it.
It just seems like such an antiquated situation to be in, and it's so backward. You know, we talk about cricket moving forward with the women's game and this, that, and the other. Well, if they want to encourage more women to play, encourage them to play rather than pretending that they're playing, allegedly, and then getting rid of your entire national women's team, basically. Well, that's gone completely in the wrong direction to what cricket is looking to try and do at the moment. So obviously, this is all still rambling on at the moment. Poppy, what would you say would be the ideal outcome from all of this? I mean, I know you want to just get back to playing cricket and you want, but things have got to change. What are you all hoping for now?
I'm going to be quite honest in my reply, and I'm probably going to get sued by France Cricket for saying this, but I think at this point the best outcome would be for a change in government of the federation, of the association, because it is not actually a federation, it's an association. I think we need a full change of the people in charge and the committee, because I think it is quite obvious it is not a healthy system. I'm probably going to get sued for saying that on a podcast, just pre-warning everybody.
We'll start a fundraiser if they try and take you down. Yes. That'd be a good idea. Start a fundraiser. But and then would you be happy to get back into it, but only if that changed?
I think as far as the girls,
is this very much a leopard? Is this kind of a leopard won't change its spots, so it needs to be a completely different animal?
I think pretty much as long as this system has not changed significantly, may that be or not a change of government in the system. We are only willing to play, I think I can speak for most of the girls, for a system we think is healthy and honest. And right now we are getting neither honesty or good treatment or transparency from France Cricket. So as long as that's the situation, we are unwilling, I think, to represent that system. And I will say that some of us, me included, not the majority, have been aware of what's been going on and have closed our eyes for a few years because we wanted to play cricket. And we knew or suspected that if we woke up, we were going to be kicked off the team. So I've been making that choice for the last 2 years of, you know, closing my eyes, not speaking up, because we've seen it happen with other girls before, you know, the Tracy and the girls before who did speak up and are not on the team anymore. So been a long time to not say anything, to be able to play the sport we enjoy, and that time is pretty much finished. And speaking for me personally, as long as the system doesn't change, I am not willing to represent that system, which comes at the cost of not representing my country, which is not a choice you should have to make ever, really.
And is there any domestic women's cricket going on at the moment in France this summer as we come into the summer?
As far as we know, all women's team exist. They exist. We've played them. We know them. We're all friends. I think only one team, as far as I know, has registered with the French association club system. The other three, I think, have not registered with them. So we're in the process of hopefully organising friendly games, or, you know, we have cricket festivals. But yeah, it's if you take out the French team and the French team trainings and the French league, you have to basically organize it all yourself. And as I said, in France, we've all got full-time jobs, and it's difficult to organize big events when you've got long distances to travel, expenses, and people who basically, it's not their job. So it's always, you know, off volunteering, which works, but it's a lot of work. So there's, I would say, less going on this year, as far as I can tell, than the previous years. And I think that is linked directly to this sort of need for a break, because we're all pretty much disgusted by the situation, I think is safe to say.
Sorry, if I could just touch on France Cricket's plans for women's cricket this year. So actually, I think two women's teams remain affiliated to France Cricket, of those ones that you were talking about, Lille and PUC. They are meant to be participating in a women's cup, which has 10 teams. Many of those teams are the ones featured in last year's Division 2, which our investigation centered around. There are doubts over how this tournament will go on. And the first match day, which was meant to be last Saturday, the two matches planned for then have been postponed. So I don't know why, but so far, not so good.
Interesting. And how has the support been from other clubs? Because I saw that Nantes saying they're deeply proud of the courage of their players. How do the clubs feel about this situation?
I think the issue we have is that we have in all of our teams, players are French national team players, and a portion are girls who just want to play cricket and are not don't either have the level to play for the national team or just aren't interested and just want to play cricket for fun. And again, you're faced with a choice between, do we follow the ethical route of not registering with the French league again to say no, but then we're costing our girls games. And the essence of our clubs are to play cricket and offer cricket. And cricket is fun. Cricket is, you know, we all know what cricket is about. It's about a Sunday afternoon in the sun, you know, playing a game and then having a barbecue. And by not registering with the French league, we're taking the few games we had that were organized and, you know, had a date and had a pitch and were provided for away from our clubs. Again, it's not a choice you have to make between following what you think is right and taking away cricket from some of the girls, you know, don't want to play for the French team and they're being penalized because we have to choose between standing up for what we think is right and trying to provide the most cricket for the girls on the team. So we're lucky that we're all friends and we work it out. But obviously it's a big dilemma. And out of the four teams that do exist, as far as we know, you can see there's a pretty clean 50-50 split. So I think the dilemma has been a big one for all of the teams. And some have prioritized the amounts of games for their players and some have decided to go down what we could call the ethical route and being like, we will not affiliate to you because we're not happy with how you're dealing with the situation and the transparency you're giving us.
Yeah, I was just going to supplement that as well by saying this year, France Cricket is clamping down very hard on friendly games arranged with clubs that are outside the France Cricket system. And that caused a lot of consternation in the general meeting clubs. And this is even applied to the men's teams, right? Because, for instance, Nantes is no longer affiliated, but they've got the only grass wicket, turf wickets in the country. So obviously men's and women's teams want to play at Nantes because it's a great place to play. And because they've no longer affiliated in protest with what's going on, France Cricket will punish any teams that want to play with them.
Interesting. And Poppy, how much of an impact has this had personally on players? And, you know, it can't have been a very happy time to be part of.
The interesting thing is that we're lucky that we stood together. We had discussions before the statement and pretty much everybody who was involved in the discussions were on the same, you know, the same wavelength. We chose to notify the underage players but not involve them because we think that wasn't fair to have to put them through that process. So we made decisions as adults, not that they're not mature enough, but, you know, they're underage and we don't want to have them impact their career. So it's not been an issue between us. I think that's just because we are basically a team and what we do is we do together. But obviously some players have stated, you know, I don't want to deal with this anymore, and have, after the statement, left the group and said, I need a year off cricket. And we've respected that so far and we're planning to respect it till the end. But basically what you could probably call a cricket burnout of, I just don't want to hear about it anymore for a bit of a couple of months or a year. So it's been lucky that it hasn't divided us. But yeah, it's not happy times. And I'm not sure, we don't have any visibility on the future. Should it be for the national team or even just for our cricketing careers? I mean, I used to train every single day for cricket because, you know, there was a French team. I got invited to Fairbreak. I got invited to Fairbreak again this year, but I said there's no point in me coming. I'm not training, I'm not playing. You need authorization from my federation to represent my country, which I can't say they won't give it, but I highly suspect they won't give it. So it's having impacts also outside of cricket in France, because if I was available for the Fairbreak, I don't even know if I could go, because I doubt that the French cricket would say you can go. I'm not up to scratch with the implications of that. If they didn't give their authorization, would I not be able to play? I'm not sure. But the fact is, you take a huge event, which should be just a joy, pride and honor. And here I am saying, you know what, I don't think I can come because I'm not training, I'm not playing. I don't even know if my federation will support me. So basically, thank you, but please give the opportunity to somebody else who is training, who is playing, and who is proud to represent their system, which at this point, I can't say I am. So it's having huge implications on cricket outside of France too, I think, for us.
And then I guess it's sort of, you know, it's something that used to bring you so much joy and happiness, and then it's just brought a lot of stress for the last 6 months, etc.
I think it's safe to say that for most of us on the team, cricket was half of our lives. I mean, we had our day jobs and somewhat of a personal life. But during the season, you know, if you have to drive 4 hours to get to a game and book a hotel for the night for one or two games, that's your weekend done. And it was something we did without hesitation because we were just so happy to play. Not playing cricket gives you a lot of extra free time. And discovering that I can, you know, use my annual leave for holidays and not for cricket anymore, which is both sad and ironically handy at the same time. But it was a huge part of our lives, and suddenly all that time has become free time, basically, or frustration time if you're somebody who dwells on frustrations. But yeah, it's not good.
And I try not to believe everything I've seen on social media, but I did see something about when Emmanuel Bralevé was captain, she was allegedly asked by the authorities to lie about the number of women taking part in cricket in France. Am I right in saying this?
So we have a number of girls, different people who have been involved in different ways in this, in the you know, either in the committee or captaincy, all people whom I know and trust and have separately been giving accounts of these types of allegations. So if I was asked to, you know, bear witness or to say what I would think, I would 100% believe what was asked of Emmanuel and other people reporting similar accusations or similar questions in different, you know, in the committee or with people from France cricket. So I would believe and support those statements without much of a doubt. It's very much in line with how they function.
We've got similar things on the record in the articles. Lara Armas, who's another national team player, used to be on the board, says she pushed while she was on the board as to why this second division, in her words, was fake. She said she got shut down. Tracy Rodriguez, similar thing. She was on the board, says she was laughed at when she was asked about women's matches that weren't actually taking place. Marjorie Guillaume, former CEO, you know, who was telling me that initially she sort of bought into the system, but before realizing what was actually going on, and then found it very difficult to do anything about it. And none of these women are working for France cricket anymore. So
it's very similar. It's basically, and this could be at a playing level as a player, just asking, you know, am I playing the next game? What position am I playing? What number am I batting? It's basically don't ask questions, trust the process. And if you don't do that, you're off the team. I mean, it's not maybe the best example, but basically, if you don't do what you're told, you won't be selected for the next game, regardless of your performance or your place in the team. It doesn't matter. So it's basically a bully system. Trust the process is a nice way of saying it, which actually means, you know, shut up and do what you're told. And if you don't, things will happen to you. You won't play. If you're a player in the French team, you will get fined if you're in a club. Again, I wasn't directly involved, but clubs who have been speaking up against the French Association suddenly have had all their games played on a pitch 4 hours away when they have their own home pitch of good quality. So that they bully people they're not happy with. And you either, again, choose to shut up and play cricket, or, you know, preserve cricket for your club, or speak up and get bullied or fined or blacklisted, basically.
Interesting.
Or sued.
But we'd start a fundraiser. Yes. That's okay. What are the next steps for you in reporting this and trying to, you know, dig further into it?
Yeah, Georgie, I'd love to go to every scheduled women's, because I'm with you.
I've not got that many plans. I'll just pop
awesome.
Over.
Awesome, let's do it.
Tokyo Grand Prix, yeah?
Oh, honestly, I would love that. I would love, because you might know that my regular gig is to tech journalism for France.
Yeah, I'm not getting involved in tech journalism, sorry. That's
not... Yeah, that's understandable. I'd advise not to. I have neglected looking at some other allegations that I've received. in more detail, in as much detail as I have done with the women's matches, purely because it was practical for me at the time and made sense to look at the women's tournaments. But the first article mentions allegations about junior matches as well. I would love to be able to attend all of these matches around France to check if they're going on or not. So I don't know. Basically, it depends on whether I get time and commissions to actually look into things, because it's not just France, from what I hear as well. There are an other associate nations where practice isn't optimal.
I did wonder about that. I wondered if you'd heard anything about perhaps other countries doing similar, and it's just something to come out.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't put anything down in writing yet, but yes, and I think this is what I struggle to explain, particularly to the French colleagues, people who don't necessarily know cricket, is that this isn't just a story about a small sport in France. It's about an entire system of associate membership. Yes, you have France, which receives hundreds of thousands of dollars from the ICC every year, but you've got the entire associate nation system, and France being one of the bigger associate members in terms of funding, and with, as I said, seemingly so little oversight, are similar things going on in other countries. The big story in women's cricket, and I know we've talked about this, is Kyrgyzstan, and that's a full member, and we know what's happened with their women's team. But even expanding things out to one other country like France, small though it may be, I think is a really important story. So obviously I'm passionate about it. That's why I've done so much up to now. And I encourage anyone to get in touch.
No, I think it's very important. Yes, it might be small, but it's still got a national team. There's women that want to play for it, but they deserve to be treated right. They had the World Cup come and visit, you know, about to hold the Olympics, another massive sporting, you know, the pinnacle of sport. And then cricket is joining the Olympics in 4 years' time. And these things need sorting. People need looking after, apologising to, you know, and the French Federation needs to be held to account, I think. And I think it's all about, I think we need to get this story out there as much as we can, because there's only so long that they can just stick their fingers in their ears and pretend that nothing's their fault.
Yeah.
That's what...
And I was about to say, as far as what we've done so far, and many other people and clubs in France have done, unless the ICC or the French government gets involved, I don't think these people are going to take any actions to make amends. So we really need these governing bodies to stand up and take responsibility for what, you know, what they're doing and what the Fed, well, the association is doing, but we are not listened to. So we need these bodies to basically step up and do their job, really.
And it gets a bit technical, but France Cricket has this agreement with the Baseball and Softball Federation, to which they used to belong, which allows them to run the sport in the country and gives them the ministerial right to have national teams, etc. So they're in a bit of limbo now, because they want to, we've been calling them a federation, but as Poppy said, they're an association and they are vying to become a federation. They'll do all they can to get that federation status, but it really is up to French authorities what happens next. And I've had a deafening silence from the sports ministry on this. I think the big problem is cultural, and it's a wider problem about France. It's a misunderstanding about the activity of a sport that they simply don't understand, even though there's a huge South Asian diaspora now in France, who a lot of whom are playing cricket. Okay, not on the women's side a lot of the time, but It is a growing sport in France, or has the potential to be a growing sport in France, and we're not seeing any acknowledgement of this from French authorities.
Yeah, well, it feels like it's a story that is not yet finished, and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, yet to be.
We also haven't even touched. Yeah, go on.
No, you go.
Well, I just said we haven't touched on this. An element in the latest article about what France cricket is hoping to do next in terms of its women's national team. And they've signed an agreement with the local authorities and the cricket committee in New Caledonia, which is part of France in the Pacific Ocean. They do have women playing cricket there. They play a traditional form of cricket with a bat and ball made from a banyan sap, I believe. I've not been there and seen it seen it for myself, but I do that. I believe, I mean, they actually have more licensed players than France does in cricket in that small overseas territory of France. So they really are trying to hire women cricketers from there. And I consider it as a sort of, you know, I think we do also have a responsibility to make sure women that do end up playing for the national team from there at least have knowledge of the women that came before them, I think.
And of what they could be entering into should they agree to join up.
Of course, it's fantastic to encourage and develop cricket in all parts of France. That's not the question. But I don't know if the association, cricket association over there, or the authorities are aware of the work we've done so far in France cricket.
I think the recruitment of potential players in the other side of the world is an admission of the situation. I think this is me interpreting the situation, but they're pretty much, I think, hoping to hide up the collapse of a women's team. If you have a team in 2023 who's winning Division 2 and moves up to Division 1, and you have no team worthy of mention in 2024, that's basically, you know, saying exactly what it's saying. So the need for them to go and look on the other side of the world, literally, to try and put the team together, I think is pretty much a testimony to the situation. And the fact that I think they're well aware that if they don't have a team that's similar-ish in level, and I mean, I wish them well. I mean, we have no issues with these girls, but we just hope that they don't end up in the same system we have, or end up being used to basically hide up the bigger issues underlying. I don't know any of them. I don't know their names, but if I did, I'd probably get in touch and make sure they knew what the situation was, which is difficult because the French team brought us so much joy and pride.
Yeah, and I saw you guys in Jersey and what it meant for you to win that and go into the next division and the excitement of that. And then just a few months later, they're changing their picture on their Facebook page to the men's one instead of you guys winning. And even small things like that, there was always something. And then to just be told you're not welcome anymore, which is what Tara Britton was saying in your article, wasn't it? You know, you're not welcome anymore. They feel let down by the players. Well, you feel let down by the federation.
I was about to say again that this is a way they manage issues before, is that it's never their fault. So instead of them recognizing the issues and being, or even saying, you know what, there are issues, we are looking into it, give us some time. Straight off the bat, it was, you are letting us, you are ruining the work we've put in. You know, it's always our fault. And it's always been, we have to do more, we have to give more. Don't ask any questions, trust the process, do what you're told. Keep taking annual leave for
ultimate gaslighters
or dictatorship. I don't know. Again, this will be probably not something they want to hear, but it's the way they deal with things. And again, I wish these girls well, but I hope they know what they're getting themselves into. And I don't want them to be used as a cover up for the deeper issues running in the association.
Peter, did you
have? Of course, I was just going to say the irony about this is it stems from, or the measures that the ICC has taken on paper to develop women's cricket. 50-50 funding men and women, the ability to play in more tournaments, given a certain level of domestic women's cricket. So these are things that were, la base, as we say in French, intended to develop women's cricket and have ended up being misused, exploited, misunderstood. Perhaps that's the irony of it for me.
Yeah. Well, I won't keep you guys for too much more of your day because I could talk for hours on this. But thank you both so much for joining me and talking about this. And I hope that the more of us that we can, the more media outlets we can get talking about this around the world and sharing this story, we can either get to the bottom of whatever is going on, try and get some kind of, I don't want to call it justice for French women's cricket, but I want justice for the French women's national team. I really like the people that play for them as well. I got to know you guys, I knew Poppy anyway, but in Jersey, and like there's a lot of talent in that team, but also these are human beings that don't deserve to be treated like this. And it will be interesting to see how this story develops. Peter, you've done an absolute fab job at sort of digging all of this out. And I just hope that the rest of the cricket community gets behind this and we can sort of get to the bottom of it all and hopefully at some point move forward positively for French cricket.
Thank you so much, Georgie.
And if you fancied anyone wanting to know where they can find you guys on social media, feel free to share your usernames now.
Just Google Peter O'Brien, France 24.
There you go. Just
if you want to read the articles.
Just Google me. And then also, yes, go to France 24 for Peter's articles, which are the Kickstarter for all of this.
Thanks.
For myself, probably the easiest option is just Facebook, Poppy McGowan, if you can spell it, which is the first challenge. But yeah, there's not many under my name. So if you can spell it right, you'll find me pretty easily. And just, pop a message.
Well, wonderful.
Actually, yeah, you will find my email address on X or on Threads if you want to send me, if you've got any information to share.
Fabulous. Well, hopefully there'll be someone out there with some information, etc. Thank you both so much for joining me. I will let you get back to your normal days, your normal life now. And
I think that the main way you can, if anybody wants to support us, is basically by sharing the papers, the articles, the podcast, anything. Just share. Add your opinion if you have one. But we just need to get the word out there as much as possible. So that's probably the easiest and best way to support what we're trying to do.
Fabulous. Well, thank you both so much. It has been an eye-opening chat.
And to all our listeners, if you want to keep up to date with everything that we're doing, you can follow us on Twitter and TikTok at WCricketChat, on Instagram at Women's Cricket Chat. And if you want to give us a like on Facebook, we are Women's Cricket Chat. If you'd like to give our personal Twitters a follow, then it's at GeorgiaHeath27 and I'm at Alexandra Pereira. This has been Women's Cricket Chat. Tune in next time.
Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.